Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He's a world champion wrestler,
best-selling author,
actor,
and lead singer of Fozzy.
Now
he's rocking the podcast world.
This
is Talk is Jericho.
Talk is Jericho.
Starring Chris Jericho.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho, the pot of thunder, and rock and roll. The spell you're under will be broken by Chris Jericho. And guess what? It's Friday.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Woohoo! Yeah, the People's Podcast has arrived. The remedy for boredom is here. Let's go for a ride. Ba-da-ling ding down bow on ba-da-ling bow now now ba-da-ling bow now bow on it now. Monkey business, monkey business, ding ding ding, monkey business, ding ding ding, monkey business, monkey business, go don't get go, monkey business. If I got no monkey on my back. Woo! There's a new one for you, a little Skid Row featuring the vocals of Talk is Jericho alumni Sebastian Bach, written by my buddy Dave Snake Sabo. I should get Snake on the show one of these days. I'm sure he's got some great rock and roll tales to tell. So much cool stuff from Skid Row. Actually, Paige, WWE Divas Champion, one of her favorite bands is Skid Row. See the kismet there? The Divas Champion loves Skid Row. I just did Skid Row song, and the Divas, the Total Divas, are here on Talk is Jericho today. They're back for season 3 on the E! Network, and it's a total diva invasion here with Brie Bella, Eva Marie, and Ariane Cameron, the Funkadactyl, coming up. Have you seen Total Divas? It's a very, very behind-the-scenes expose of a show. Cameras follow all of the Total Divas cast around all the time, in the ring, backstage at WWE, in the arenas, on the road, at home, on vacation, all the time. And we'll hear what it's like, good and bad. We'll talk wrestling as well, favorite matches, WrestleMania moments, main event moments, storylines, so much Total Diva action coming up today. Plus, I'm going to tell you all about my 9/11 experiences 13 years ago this week. The fateful day that changed America and all of our lives forever. So much to talk about. I appreciate you joining me today, and I want to say thank you once again for supporting my show and the great Talk is Jericho sponsors. If not for them, I wouldn't be able to do this for you for free for twice a week. You can check them all out by going to podcastone.com, clicking on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page, then hitting the Talk is Jericho button. All of my Amazon links are there. Amazon USA, Amazon UK, Amazon Canada, easiest way to support the show, because Amazon gives a small percentage of your purchase back to the show to help us cover production costs and stuff. So many expenses here. But when you shop on the Amazon link, there's no extra charges or hidden fees, nothing. If you're going to be doing some Amazon shopping, please do it through my link. Just go to podcastone.com, click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page, then click on the Talk is Jericho button. I appreciate you supporting this show, supporting my sponsors. You know I love to love you, baby. I love being here with you twice a week, and that's never, ever going to stop. All right, got the Total Divas coming up. Brie Bella, Eva Marie, Ariane, a.k.a. Cameron. But I was going to do something else to kick off the show today, but then I realized this is the week of September 11th, 2014, and 13 years ago, September 11th, 2001, the terrorists crashed into the World Trade Center, crashed into the Pentagon. Whatever theory you believe, whatever reason behind it you believe, conspiracy, not conspiracy, whatever. The point is thousands of people passed away on that day, and people have been feeling the effects of that ever since. I want to share with you what I was doing on that day. We had a show in San Antonio. I stayed over that night, went and hung out with some friends, then woke up in the morning. I believe it was at a Holiday Inn in San Antonio, and was getting ready to go to the next show, which was in Houston. SmackDown was in Houston. Raw was in San Antonio. SmackDown was in Houston. And I woke up. I had a text on my cell phone, or my dad had just called me. Either way, it was my dad had called me or texted me. He said, turn on the TV. This horrible thing has happened. There's been a plane crashed into the World Trade Center. So I turned it on, and I literally turned it on in time to see the second plane crash into the World Trade Center. Because the first one, no one really knew what was going on. Was it an accident? Was it, you know, some errant pilot out of control? But the second one hit, and you knew it was some form of an attack. Now, I remember this vividly. My dad said that, I think he said, he might have even said 50,000 people have died, or 5,000 people had died. The initial numbers that came out were these huge, huge numbers. I think it might have even been 50,000 people have died. And he said it's this madman, Ben Aladdin, which at this point, you know, it's kind of funny, a little bit comical, but either he said Bin Laden, or he thought the guy's name was Ben Aladdin or Ben Laden. You know, everyone knows the name Osama Bin Laden now, but at the time, he'd never heard of this guy. So I turned on the TV and just watched as all this horrible stuff was happening, and then everything just started unraveling and unfolding. And, you know, you don't really know what to do. So I remember I just, because you didn't know, like, is the whole country going to be under attack now? Or are jet planes going to come out of the sky? Is this going to be like Red Dawn and, you know, paratroopers coming out of the sky? No one really knew for sure. And then there was all these rumors that all government institutions were in trouble, and schools were in trouble because the terrorists were going to come and blow up the schools and take out the kids. And, you know, it's one of those things everyone says, you know, if you were alive when Kennedy was shot, everyone remembers where you were. Everyone remembers where you were when you heard that John Lennon was shot. And I do remember where I was that day. It was I was in Winnipeg and getting ready to go to elementary school. I think it was in grade 6, 1980. But you remember that day. I remember that day vividly of just the unrest of what everybody was feeling. Like, so scary, and no one really knew for sure what was happening. How far was this going to go? So I got in my car, and I just did the only thing that I knew to do. Show must go on. Let's go to Houston, because that's where SmackDown was. I think it's about a two-hour drive from San Antonio or something like that. And the word was that the show was going to continue. You know, classic Vince McMahon, the show must go on. And as I was driving, you know, you call your loved ones. I remember I talked to my wise cousin Chad, this feeling of unrest. I showed up at the arena in Houston. I walked inside, and it was a ghost town. There was nobody there. The show had been canceled. I remember I met the singer from the Galactic Cowboys named Ben Huggins. That's a very obscure reference, but he was there working as a rigger. And it's the one and only time I ever met Ben Huggins from Galactic Cowboys, a band that I dug very much. And we kind of talked over, like, what's going on, what's happening, because there were maybe putting up the stage or just taking it down. And we were going to go in there and do the show, but I guess the mayor of Houston canceled it because he was scared. You know, people were scared. Everyone was staying in, and they were saying, do not leave your house. And so the show was off that night, but that was a Tuesday, and we were told to stay in Houston until Thursday because they were going to have the show. So that was the hardest thing, being away from your wife, your kids, your home, really nowhere to go, stuck in Houston. And all of the hotels were sold out. All the hotels were filled up. Lucky enough, we were able to get rooms, but nothing worse than watching TV and just waiting with bated breath, like, what's going to happen? When's the next bomb going to drop? And being away from your loved ones. And so the time for the show came, a couple days of just basically drinking just to try and numb the uncertainty and numb the terror that all of us were feeling. And it came time for the show, and it was the first mass gathering in the United States after 9/11. And that is a true fact. You can look that up. In the Houston summit, we had 10,000 people who showed up. And I remember the mayor asked Vince, please, we want to do this show. The people of this city, the people of this country need this show. And, you know, take their mind off it. And that's what we did. We did the show. It was one of those nights where all the good guys won. They did little tributes to 9/11 victims and to the people of America. Ran that throughout the show. I remember there was some controversy because Stephanie compared the adversity to when her dad had been accused of the U.S. government of crimes, I think steroid trafficking and all this stuff. And I remember she went on and said, you know, the American spirit prevails just as Vince's spirit prevailed when he went up against the government and won. I don't think she was trying to do it snidely or arrogantly. I think it was just the comparison that she made. Did the show, and then right after, me and Edge and Christian got in the car and started driving because all of the airports were still shut down. Remember that. And it was either be stuck in Houston still or waiting as slowly but surely planes were allowed back on, but everything was so backed up, and we just left. In Houston to Tampa, I think it's about a 10-hour drive, maybe a little longer, and we drove all night. And I ain't talking about Cyndi Lauper. We drove all night, and Adam and I drove all the way. Jay just sat in the back. Christian sat in the back complaining the whole time. I remember we stopped at Krispy Kreme to get donuts. That's the early 2000s when everybody was into Krispy Kreme. That was the big treat. And I remember I got pulled over for speeding by a cop. A cop actually pulled me over for speeding, I think like in Valdosta or something like that. I remember saying, like, the whole country is coming down at the seams. I'm trying to get home to my family, and you're going to give me a speeding ticket, you know, for that? And the cop was like, yep, I'm giving you a speeding ticket. This is still America, damn it. And it's like, all right, America, where everyone's trying to get home to their families. And the rent-a-cars companies were giving everybody a deal, half price or maybe no drop-off charge. That's what it was, no drop-off charge. Any car in America, you could take it and drive to your house, and there would be no drop-off charge. That was kind of the present from all of the rent-a-car companies to all of the people. So it was a really cool time, a really cool moment in that respect. And then I got home, and then you just have to watch the TV and wait and see what's happening, what's going on, what the problems are. Like I mentioned, just everyone was really scared as to what was really happening. And then as the week went on, you know, the attacks were pretty much finished. And then it was just all of the repairs and everyone just trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And we actually, once again, Monday morning, flew to Memphis. And if you think the fact that we had the first mass gathering, I think we were probably one of the first teams, if you're calling us a team, that had to get back on the plane. And, you know, our whole company had to fly to Memphis, and there was nobody in that airport. Tampa Airport was a ghost town. You know, morning flight, Monday morning, 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, whatever it was, it's usually jam-packed, but there was nobody in there. And when we got on the plane, everybody was getting randomly searched. And I'll never forget, there was a guy that had, I don't know exactly what you call it, it wasn't a burqa, it wasn't that bad, but it might have been a turban or something like that. And you know, the guy walked on the plane, and they didn't check him, but they checked me. And I just was thinking, like, the irony, like, wow, that's pretty crazy, but that's America, right? Land of the free, home of the brave. Got on the plane, and usually I sleep on the plane. At this point in time, I was wide awake the whole time, waiting, watching the aisle. If anybody tried to come up that aisle and go into the pilot's, you know, cabin, I was ready to attack. And I was thinking, can you imagine if those guys that I think, I can't remember what flight it was, United 54 maybe, that kidnapped the people on the plane and they had to crash the plane into the open field. Can you imagine if the jihadists, the al-Qaedists, the terrorists got on the plane with the WWE crew? Like, you're going to try and cut me with a box cutter? Like, dude, I do that for a living. You know, come at me, bro. Those guys would have been annihilated right then and there. Like, there was some like Big Show and Kane and Undertaker and all the lunatics, like myself and Eddie Guerrero and Angle. And can you imagine six scrawny little terrorists with a box cutter getting on the plane, trying to take it over with all of us? But it was a crazy time. Something I'll never forget. I'll never forget that morning waking up and my dad telling me that Bin Laden had just killed 50,000 people. And thankfully it wasn't that many, but we're still feeling the effects to this day. So to anybody who lost somebody during that time frame, God bless you. For all the people that lost their lives, God bless you as well. And God bless America. All right. Whew, that was some heavy stuff. So let's switch gears and have a little fun. The cast of Total Divas joining us.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Talk is Jericho.
Okay, we are here hanging out in the... did you guys just kiss?
I know, right? I had to like look over really quick because I'm like, did Eva and Arion like, just a little, kiss?
Like, or something like that?
No. Yes, a little
I'm here with Brie Bella and Eva Marie and Cameron. One name only. You're like Cher. Are you Cameron on Total Divas?
No, I'm Arion.
Okay, but
they
her call
diva
you...
name is like Cher, just Cameron.
Okay.
So technically she has two names. Yes.
No, they call it, so you're Eva on the show too, right?
Eva Marie.
Yeah, Eva Marie on the show. I want to make sure because I know all your names, like both names. I know both your names.
Yeah.
Don't you love when fans come up to you and they call you by your real name?
Oh, yeah.
Like, because I read the internet.
It's mm-hmm. It's different because you know when it's a Total Diva fan, it's Arion. When it's a WWE fan, it's Cameron. So
right.
That's how you know the difference.
But let's talk about this. I mean, Total Divas is going into its third season. I mean, that's super huge. Like,
yeah.
I've done a lot of shows and they never seem to make it past season one. That's the hardest part is to get to season two. And you guys are like here with season three, which is amazing. I mean, did you ever think that when you first started that it would be such a hit?
I know for myself, I definitely, if you would have told me a couple years ago, like, hey, Brie, you were going to have this hit show on E! About wrestling. Mm-hmm. I would have been like, yeah, right. E! Audience doesn't care about that. But the fact that I feel like not only the E! Audience, but a lot of mainstream women have gravitated to the fact that, like, we're these badasses in the ring. It's mm-hmm. just so surreal. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, that's why our show is doing so well, because people kind of look at us, like, as role models. They're just, like, these women are amazing. I think mm-hmm. we're always, like, on people's Women Crush Wednesdays.
Yeah. I agree, too. I just think, too, it's, like, we have so many different personalities and everyone has a different story to tell. So that's also nice too. You know, you get, you know, so many girls together and it's like, you know, you have the love, you have the drama, you have the makeup and the breakups. And so it's nice for them to see like the difference of us being in the ring and outside of the ring and, mm-hmm. you know, the drama in relationships and dramas with friendships. So I think that's why people like it too. And, you know, people have never really got to see like WWE backstage. So for
right.
people to see that, they're like, wow. And like Brie said, you have these girls who are kicking ass in the ring and who yeah. are really making names and being women's role models. So mm-hmm. they're like, ooh, I want to be just like them.
It was huge for you guys too, because I mean, when this show started, obviously Bellas have been here for a long time. But you guys, I mean, you've been doing some stuff with the Funkadactyls, with Brodus Clay, and you, Eva, had just basically started.
I would have never thought in a million years, not only to get into the WWE, like developmental program and everything, and then to have it amplified times a million, showing like the world, you know, trying to be a WWE diva. So like to just have that magnified is insane, because it gets to, you know, the world gets to see how hard it really is to be a WWE diva or superstar starting out. Because I literally had first.
Because you had just been here. I feel like it was weeks. I mean, I'm sure it might have been months, but you had been just on the main roster only for a few weeks when you got the call to do this show, right?
No, I just signed my developmental deal, and then literally 24 hours later got the Total Diva call.
So what did you think?
I had no idea what to expect, you know, just because I was so excited just to get the developmental mm-hmm. deal for WWE, you know, moving. I wasn't supposed to move until July. Mm-hmm. I ended up moving within 48 hours.
From California to like Orlando,
and
right?
And then I went to WrestleMania first day, like on the job, pretty much. And I was just like blown away. And then to have cameras like following you around is just surreal.
And how about you, Aaron? When you started it, because you were kind of, like I said, you were the kind of the background dancer, cheerleader, working a little bit. But now for both you guys, you basically have made more of a name on Total Divas than you have in the WWE so far.
Yeah, and I kind of like that too, just because, you know, Naomi and I was kind of categorized as like the same person. Like, you mm-hmm. know, no one yeah, really yeah. knew like our story. Like, yeah, they're dancers, but what else, you know, do they
bring? Yeah, what do you do? Yeah.
You know, and the same with me. I was in developmental for a little bit, so then I just did the dancing stuff. So having Total Divas, you know, gave me the chance. It's actually the twins. The twins came back and yeah. we had our first like real angle, like mm-hmm. being in the ring and performing in that sense. But, I don't know. I feel like it's all a blessing, you know, especially being that girl from Tough Enough that was the first eliminated to like where I'm at now. It's awesome.
Well, let's talk brief for how you guys, I remember you guys left the WWE for a while, you and your sister. We asked Nikki to do this, but she declined. So coup on her. She stinks.
Yeah, she does.
But I remember you told me, like, you had, because I would meet up with you guys a couple times in LA. We went yeah. to dinner one time and you were like, oh, we got a couple projects that we're working on. And one of them was pitching this reality show around right. town, around yeah. Hollywood, as they say. So tell us about the idea and where this came from and how you got it to, you know, actually to go on air.
Yeah, well, it's crazy because when Nikki and I left WWE, it was the hardest decision we have ever made. And I think for us too, you know, so many people thought we left because we wanted to go to Hollywood. It wasn't the case. We wanted a wrestling angle. Mm-hmm. And WWE at the time, they told Nikki and I, like, we just don't know what to do with twins. There's only so many things. And our contracts were expiring. And we're like, you know what? Maybe we need to walk away so they realize kind of what they lost. And I know some people laugh. They're like, oh, nothing. But at the same time, you do. You have to take those moments.
Well, yeah. And let's kind of break down a bit. There's only so many angles you can do with right. twins. You have, you know, a pair of very pretty girls that know how to wrestle. And they're twins.
Right.
And sorry, we got nothing for you.
It's totally. Kinda
lame, right?
Yeah,
it's
and,
lazy.
Yeah, and Nicole and I just love the ring so much that, you know, after we did the 16 months of being the celebrity guest host assistants when we mm-hmm. did the stuff with Donald Trump, and, you know, after doing all that, we were just craving so much more ring time. And so when we walked away, we knew we were going to come back, but we just knew it had to be at a special time. Mm-hmm. And then Nicole and I, so many people all the time would tell us, like, you guys need your own reality show, because we fight like a old married couple. And, you know, my sister has,
yes,
yeah.
True.
And my sister has no filter and can give two craps whether yeah. you like her or not.
I believe, like, the new saying is zero given.
Yes, yeah. There you go. There you go. And I think, too, because we're so different and people are always blown away, like, how are these girls identical twins but yet can be more different? Mm-hmm. And so Nicole and I were, like, we were talking, but a lot of people, it was kind of like we realized, you know, what's special about us is that we actually are wrestlers. And, you know, when you step into Hollywood, they don't get it. Their first thing is like, oh, that phony stuff, mm-hmm. like whatever. And it's like, no, it's not that. It's actually very inspiring as women. We travel the world. We get in the ring. Like, we do so much outside of the ring. And people's ears started really perking up. And it was really neat. And so just throwing out all these ideas, it's crazy how it all came together. And then when Nicole and I came back, I'll never forget, we got the phone call and they're like, hey, we have this angle. We really want you guys to put over the Funkadactyls. This will go into WrestleMania. And also, it's not for sure, but we might have a show idea. And
WWE.
Total Divas wasn't for sure. Like, because really when we started filming, we were filming more of a pilot. Mm-hmm. And Nicole and I knew this going in, which, we, you know, us original girls, we had to take that scary step knowing, okay, not only is everyone so annoyed backstage that we're filming, but this can fail mm-hmm. and it's on us mm-hmm. because are we exciting enough? Like, are we bringing, you know, all this stuff to the table? So Nicole and I are like, sure, we'll put over the Funkadactyls. Let's do this. And, you know, it's crazy because we come back, we're so excited here, we're in a wrestling angle, and then we get cut at WrestleMania and we're like, are we cursed?
Like, oh, what? Your match got cut,
oh,
right?
Yes.
That was.
It was heartbreaking.
First of all, tell us about that. So you're talking about what WrestleMania was it, 28 or 29?
It was 28.
Yeah, 28. So the idea is they brought you back, Bella's, to face the Funkadactyls.
Actually,
no, it was
29. Yeah, because
that's right. 30. That's
yeah.
Jersey, New Jersey,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah. So Bella's versus Funkadactyls, and it's a big angle built up, a big tag team match, and you get there. So it didn't get cut like the day before the show.
No.
It gets
we
cut.
Are waiting.
Well, tell us the story.
Yeah, so we were in Gorilla, and we just started realizing that the match before us was going, you know, over.
Whose match was that?
It was Undertaker and CM Punk.
But you can't really say anything about that, right?
You can't, and I was...
I was even going to say Bastards, but as soon as you said Undertaker, it's like, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Own, and we're all sitting in there, like, glued to the screen because it was an insane match.
Yeah.
But you are looking at the time, and you're like, oh, no.
This
like,
is great, but hurry up.
Yeah, well, and it's just like, it's such mixed emotions. Like, yeah. you just, you know, and you hear it like, okay, if, you know... this doesn't wrap up in 5 minutes, then, you know, you could hear them saying like, then that's the next seg is done.
Wow.
And, but it was like a feeling of like, here's this incredible match that's going to make history that it's like, you know, like you're sitting as a fan watching, but then at the same time, you're like, oh no, I don't think we'll be in WrestleMania this year. And, the minute Vince literally got out of his seat and he looked at all of us and he's like, I am so sorry, guys. I did not think this was going to happen. I will have to owe all of you, but you're not going out there. We have to cut your seg.
I thought how he had said it, I was like, oh, he's just going to be like, just kidding, guys. Yeah. But that just kidding, like, never happened. But,
yeah.
You know, I know it had to be more devastating for you guys than it was for me because that was going to be, like, my first actual WrestleMania, like, you know, being in the ring. Because before that, the year before, we danced. But it's like I'd only been here for only such a little bit of time. So it's like it was a blessing. But, you know, hey, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Right.
Look at this past year.
Totally.
We all got to perform. So,
yeah.
It was definitely devastating because it's just like we were so prepared and, like, you know, ready. And it's like we're right in Gorilla. Like, you're in Gorilla, like, about to go out. And it's just like, oh, it's like, damn, it's kind of like a dream crusher.
It'd be different if it happened, like, you know, before the show or...
Right.
But when it happens literally like a minute or 30 seconds before you're supposed to go out, yeah, I can... There's probably some tears.
Oh, all of us.
That was my first experience, like, being at a live WWE, huge WrestleMania, biggest show of them all, you know? And I'm watching and I'm so excited. And then all of a sudden, I see all the girls come back and they're devastated. And I'm like, oh my God, what did I sign up for? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. But you know what? Like Ariane said, it's just like stuff happens and you just learned, like, there's always a tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, your time will come at some point. You just have to...
Sure.
WWE is such a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to jump on that ride and go with it, then you don't belong in this business.
Yeah,
so
you need to have that ability to go with the flow and take
totally.
The good with the bad, because it happens all the time, you know. But when you say that WWE came back and said that we have a show idea, this was your idea though. You and Nikki came up with the idea of Total Divas, or they did?
Total Divas was more their idea. Like, we came up with the concept, but it wasn't like a full-on diva show.
Gotcha.
Like, I mean, it was more about us, because you think about yourselves, right? When you're like, but it ended up, they're the ones who added their own, you know, WWE put on it, which to her, Nicole and I were like, great, because Nicole and I don't have to fill an hour of drama, because that was kind of a lot of, we said no to a lot of reality shows, because, I mean, an hour of drama for two girls who are sisters, it's a lot, and it's
that
putting
was
a
long time for a show.
Yes. Yeah. And her and I, we had to decline a lot, because it was like, I'm not ready to just like throw, like, hit rock bottom and just like become the next, you know, Honey Boo Boo, like, no thank you. So not, even though I like watching her, she's hilarious. But so when they said, oh, it'll be five girls, Nicole and I actually were like, that's awesome. And they told us, like, before we came back, we knew who was going to be on the cast, and I thought, wow, like, those are great personalities, everyone's so different. And because, you know, I knew the Funks, you know, like, I knew how they both were. And I'm like, people are actually going to see how different they are. They're going to see how the Bellas are so different. Here we're going to have a hot new girl that it's like, damn, like, are we all going to hate her? And then you have someone like Natalia, who's just so quick-witted and hilarious.
I was like, she's probably going to be the star of the show at first. She's she's nuts. She's a heart.
And she's hilarious.
Like, in a great way.
Yeah.
Like, hearts are crazy.
Yeah.
You know, Natty's like, very nice to see you. Good to see you, Chris. How are you?
Yeah.
right? Like
that's, yeah. always on.
Yeah.
Always on.
Well, because she's been grown up since she was a kid to be that way.
Totally.
So the original five was you and Nikki, and then you and Naomi, and then Natty.
Yes.
And then
Eva Marie. Eva was introduced
too. And JoJo too, right? So they brought in the two new girls.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, JoJo's not on the show anymore.
No.
What was there a reason or?
You know, I think it was her age.
Yeah.
She was really young, right? Mm-hmm.
Because you know, like off camera, that girl has so much personality. But
oh
I
my
think
gosh!
When
yeah.
the cameras, you know, she just couldn't bring it.
It's
it
a
just,
lot to like.
It's a lot to take. Think about you're just right. now starting. Your WWE is so new to you. You know, when you first come to WWE, it's like a whole different ball game. And then having you know cameras, if you're not used to that mm-hmm. in your face and your personal life, they're like, okay, we need you to be like personal and talk about personal things. It's like, ooh, I think it was just like a lot for her to take in.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
She had that like star quality to,
right.
she really did.
She was has hot body. She's young. She can actually.
But
wrestle.
She's still with the company, right?
Yeah she's okay. in development.
She's still yeah, so she still has and an she's opportunity doing well. To yeah. get Good. You know to like perfect. I think you know her craft. Then when she comes up here, she's fully mm-hmm. ready and engaged to like you know.
Well, let's talk about you, Ariane. When you first came in, you mentioned Tough Enough, and you started on Steve Austin's version of Tough Enough.
Yes.
And was there like an audition process for that?
You know what's funny is that I originally did their diva search, and then from there, I was asked to do Tough Enough,
mm-hmm.
and. It was just crazy because, like, I mean, being honest, it's like I really wasn't familiar with the whole WWE world. And then, you know, my famous quote of
That's the
Melina.
Best. Was it, Steve asked you, what was your favorite match of all time? And what'd you say?
Melina versus Alicia Fox. And, oh, my God. To this day, I still get so much, like, backlash from that because people feel like, wow, you know, this girl's not passionate. But I don't think it's about where you start from. I think it's about where you finish and, where, like, you know, your love
well, sure.
for the
I mean,
business.
Goldberg wasn't a wrestling fan either. There's a lot of people that didn't start out as wrestling fans.
Right.
But let me ask you a question. Did you actually see that match and like it, or was it just the first thing you thought
no,
of?
No, it's because at that time I was so intrigued with, like, the girls. And now looking
it
back.
It was actually the match that was on Raw,
see,
like, a couple weeks before.
Yeah,
here's something that pisses me off, though. Like, if you legitimately like that match and legitimately got something out of it, then who's to say that you're
well,
wrong?
People are like, well, you know, you have like the Survivor Series with like Lita and Trish. And I think that they were some kick-ass girl. You know what I mean? But I just feel like it's because, you know, people knew that I didn't come from a wrestling background.
Yeah.
It's because
you
I
were a target.
I was a target. So it's like automatic. And I still get it. And it sucks because I feel like I've come so far. I'm the, you know, the first one gone. The last one standing, and I feel like I've busted my butt to
well,
get.
Sure.
And then, you know, it didn't help not being in developmental for a little bit and then dancing. Because then it's like, okay, well, you're supposed to be in the ring, like, getting it, not, you know, some back. But I'm like, hey, that's not what
that's
I asked.
That's the role you're
that's
given.
That's the role I was that's given, right. and I'm going to play it, you know. And I feel like I did well with that. Cause
I was in the locker room. I remember when that aired. And a lot of the divas were kind of hurt by it, that saying our match, like, and not so much me, because I'm, you know, like, I'm always growing and learning. But, like, a lot of girls who, you know, at the time in the locker room, Melina and all of them, were like, oh, is our matches not something that it could be someone's favorite? Because I remember they were all a little upset, like, thinking, like, okay, like, they kind of took it a little personal, too.
And to me, Melina, I actually idolize her because I think that
she's one of my favorite.
Absolutely.
One
you know,
of my
so
favorite.
So it just sucks that it's, like, I think it's because of my history. That's why I got so much backlash.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
I mean?
Target.
It's like,
sure.
you know? And it sucks because I'm, like I said, I still get it to this day. Like, the Melina versus, like, she has no passion. Oh, she sucks like this. And I'm like, you know, I still feel like I could do I tell this to Eva, I could do a moonsault, like, off the top rope. I could go, like, do a, you know, a dive, and they would still be like, oh.
yeah.
You know, it's the Melina versus Alicia Fox girl.
That's
so
kind of the world that you live in with fans, because some fans are very kind of holier than thou, know-it-all, especially on Twitter and Facebook. Everyone's got an opinion. But to me, I thought, like, I didn't know if you just said that, because I never asked this before. I didn't know if you said that just because you didn't know anybody else. But if you actually like that match, then screw everybody else who says that you don't have passion.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's the match you like. You don't have to justify it. If you got something out of it and you liked it, it's your favorite match. Done. Move on.
Right.
Move on. You know?
Totally.
So anybody that gives Ari on crap about that statement now has to answer to me.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
nice.
Everyone loves you. So
yes.
then you're on my side.
There you go. I am on your
positive.
Side. I'm on your
I
side.
I need you on my side, Jericho.
Absolutely. Now let's
I just get as much heat as
they just this love one. The two of
yeah.
us together. Like,
they do.
Well, let's kind of go into your story. Now, I met you a while back
yes.
through mutual friends at the Rainbow
yeah.
upstairs.
So crazy.
Yeah, it was back
at
the Rainbow. And
what's the Rainbow?
Strip. Oh, now you got tried. Oh,
you live in LA.
She's not a rocket ship. It's a famous rock and roll club on the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles, in Hollywood.
I'm not good with
stuff, not. It's not exactly your type of place.
Gosh, it's mine.
Oh, it's not.
Well, I don't know if you're not really a rocket chick, right? But now, if you went there, you'd have fun.
Yes, so, you would.
Next time, next time we'll go to the Rainbow. But I met you through mutual friends at the Rainbow, and
so crazy,
just hi and whatever. And I think maybe started following each other on Twitter, back and forth. And then out of nowhere, one day I get this DM from you saying, "Hey, I'm getting into wrestling. Do you have any advice?" And I was like, "What? Like, you never mentioned anything about that when we first spoke."
Well, one, I don't think that would be an opener. Like, "Hi, nice to meet you. By the way, do you have any advice for
me?" That's true.
But it all came so fast and so quickly, and then all of a sudden I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm gonna hit up Chris Jericho and be like, you know, do you have any advice for me?"
Yeah, which was cool.
But I think you were totally at the time were like, "Yeah, right, this is not gonna happen."
Well, I never say that because
you just know that it's such a long, hard path to even get in. So I think that's what offends Ariana and I both, that even us being here and doing like the travel and the work is like, not everybody can be a WWE diva.
Well, don't leave me out of that, because I still too to this day, because I came in through Diva Search, so I still will get people saying stuff, and I've been in the business 7 years, almost 8, and I constantly still have to prove myself to fans because it's hard.
But how else are you supposed to get into it?
Exactly.
I don't know.
So it's just one of those, like, you know, I don't want to say the word like hurt our feelings, but
it's legit because
we want to be here. We want to be the best that we possibly can be put forth the best show we can, you know?
Well, and you can't ever apologize for the way you were raised. And the thing is that I know when I go out there, I hope a 20-year-old girl turns on WWE, sees me in the ring and becomes a fan. Mm-hmm. I hope it's not just younger kids following me their whole lives. I hope that what I do in the ring not only inspires young kids, but women. And I'd say the greatest thing about Total Divas is that we are bringing in women from the ages of 15 to 45 who are like, "Wrestling, what?" And turning it on and being like, "Oh my gosh, men first off are in their underwear and have amazing bodies." But then, you know, seeing us women in the ring, and, you know, I grew up as a farm girl. I played soccer. TV didn't exist in my household. It was like I had to worry about feeding all these animals, walking to school, then going to soccer practice. That was my life. And I wish the Attitude Era was, you know, brought in my house. But yeah, right. I mean, my parents, like, I remember the day I wanted to watch 90210. It was like, like, no, they make out. And I'm thinking like, yeah, Jason, can I watch 90210? Yeah.
Jason Priestley's hot.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I used to love that show.
Oh, me too.
I was so addicted to it. Yeah. I used to be able to play the theme song on my bass guitar.
Really?
Come on, I put my bass guitar on and play the theme song along with it.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah, right. I love it. Well, actually, Luke Perry came up to Nicole and I at a Comic-Con, and he was like, "Bellas, I'm the biggest fan
that's
of you guys."
Shoot.
And
that's
Nicole
so
and I were
crazy.
Like, "Oh my God, Luke Perry."
Biggest forehead ever, but he was so hot though.
But the
right?
fact that he even knew our names,
that's
like,
awesome.
I was just like, and Nicole's like, "Oh my gosh, I wrote him a fan letter in like 6th grade and never responded."
Oh my God,
yeah, awesome. I'm like, "Tell him." She's like, "No."
I was like, "You should have went up." I actually see Nikki like going up and being like, "Hey, I wrote you a letter."
I know, right? She was too embarrassed. And he came up to us and, you know,
that's always
incredible.
Cool when you get that people that you watch or respect or you know, doing good in other fields come up and go, "I've been watching you." And that's
awesome.
Always nice to see.
I think
know?
That's what's like awesome about Total Divas too. Like Brie was saying, you know, just like the broad spectrum, 15 to 45 women tuning in, watching Total Divas. Now they're tuning in to WWE and watching women, you know, compete on the same level as men.
And even if they're not tuning in to WWE per se, they're getting a respect for the business.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is really cool.
It's not easy.
No. But there are a lot of fans that watch just Total Divas that don't watch WWE,
correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
I know a lot of people come up to me and say, "I watch Total Divas and I never seen wrestling, but these girls are so hot," or whatever. You know, I mean, that's pretty cool too, because anytime you can do something outside of the business that brings more attention to the business is good.
Exactly.
You know, whether they become WWE fans or not, it's just good for the overall perception.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
You know? So we were talking about you, Eva, about how you got into the business. And so when you got added to the Total Divas cast, Had you met any of these of the other girls at all?
No, I had no idea exactly what I was signing up for, because at the time, like Bree was saying, it wasn't even picked up yet. It was basically like, hey, I had nothing to lose because I already wanted to just do the developmental. And so this was like icing on the cake for me to go ahead and attempt to do this reality show that I had no idea if it was going to even take off or what was going to happen from it. So I literally got the call Saturday that I, you know, got the job, and then I flew to New York for WrestleMania week, and I had not met any of these girls at all. So it was like not only walking into WWE for the first time ever, it's very intimidating because, you know, you have all these superstars and divas that have been here for in the business for years, and then here I am just like this brand new, I felt like a little kid, and then on top of that having a camera follow me around, so it's like, ooh, that's not a very good first impression, you know. So it's definitely
especially in this high school business.
Oh my gosh. You know,
so now, it's nerve-wracking.
Now, I'll be honest, Ariane and Brie, when she came in, were you guys going, who's this bitch, who is this?
You know, it's so funny,
or were you cool with her?
Well,
because I know how the diva locker room can be sometimes.
It's disgusting how crazy it gets in there. But before I saw Eva, a lot of people were coming up to Nicole and like, oh my gosh, she looks like she could be your guys' triplet. Like, she had long dark hair.
Long black hair. Yeah.
And Nicole and I were like, oh, I mean, they hire someone who like looks like us. Like, no, I thought we were supposed to be diverse.
Best of luck to her.
Yeah. Right. But then like, I mean, we had like, obviously, you know, in first season we did, we had, you know, I think
it's just natural.
Natural to have a little bit of tips.
Once again, like who is this girl? Does she really want to do this?
Mm-hmm. You know? And you know, like in our world, when you're comfortable too quick, it's just like, damn, she's real comfortable.
It's the worst
you know,
high school.
And like.
Wrestling is so high school for the guys too. Yeah. It's so bad.
But Nicole and I sat there and we're like, but gosh, she's a lot like us, which is cool. But you know, we're not going to give in yet to her. But like, so we get along great. Now we're good friends. But you know, right in the beginning, like everything in middle school.
Sure.
It's a little
weird. I couldn't show all my cards. Like I couldn't be like, hey guys, nice to meet you. I'm really scared. I'm so nervous. I don't even know if I should be here. So I kind of walked in with, you know.
Because you come in, you're like, you're modeling, done a bunch of stuff. So you got a little bit of you know,
I got
confidence.
Swag in
too.
Me.
You got some swag. But you had respect though from the start. Even when we talked before you came in, you weren't like you were asking in my opinion.
I was always asking you. I was like,
but the right questions too. Like not stupid questions, like really insightful, like how do I do this and what should I do? And you know, you had the respect for the business, which a lot of girls come and go. I mean, you guys have been here for a long time, but you know the ones that come and go.
Right.
They don't really have respect for the business. I completely agree with you.
Yeah,
you
know? Completely agree.
It's not.
No, you're right. You can't come in that way.
Talk is Jericho.
So I'm sitting here with Brie Bella, Eva Marie, and Ariane from E's Total Divas. Season 3 just debuted this week. Huge ratings, one of the highest debuts in E history. That's amazing. All right, Eva Marie, time to come clean. Let's talk about the fateful day in WWE. You arrive. You got long black hair, just like the Bellas. Did you decide to change your hair color yourself? Were you told to change it? What was the
Well, the day before I had to fly out to New York, I got a phone call saying, hey, Eva, what do you think about changing your hair color?
From E or from WWE?
From both.
Okay.
So I was like, and you know, I'm brand new, so I didn't want to ruffle any feathers. So I was like, I'm not sure. And they did it real lightly. Like, you know, maybe some like highlights or something like that. Because right now, you know, the twins, they have dark hair like you, and we don't really want people to confuse you guys. And I was like, okay. So I had an appointment on Monday and they put red streaks in LA. They put red streaks in my hair and I was like kind of devastated because I didn't like it at all. So anyways, I fly to New York Tuesday. I get off the plane and they see me and they're like, they didn't tell me this right away, but that night they were like, absolutely not. Like, that wasn't even, still have dark hair.
Oh, but it just had red streaks.
Yeah, I just had like red streaks. And they're like, that's
not exactly the same.
Yes. Like, sorry, but that's not going to work for us. So the next day I go to a salon in New York and they're like, well, we need something drastic. So we want you to go platinum blonde. I'm like, You're kidding. Like, I have high school pictures of me trying to be blonde. I'm Mexican-Italian. That just does not work on my
skin.
Yes, it just does not work on my skin tone whatsoever. And when they said blonde, I was like, do you guys want me to pull up some past pictures? Because it's not cute. So I'm literally sitting in the chair. They're, like, stripping out the red color. And I, like, had a mini nervous breakdown because I was like, there's no way that I could rock this platinum blonde hair and feel like, you know.
Yeah, feel good. Feel good. Yeah. Feel sexy, you know,
feel
hot,
confident.
Yeah.
Feel like in my own skin, like good.
Right.
So I made a quick decision. I was like, F it. Let's do red. And then it was a big controversy because phone calls, like.
You had to get permission.
Yes, you had to go through all the proper channels, and then it was like a no, and then it was a yes, and then it was a no. And then at the end of the day, I was like, no, I have to do this or else I'm not going to feel, there's no way I'll feel confident. So I went ahead, made a decision, and.
And it looks great.
Yes. Thank you. The best business decision ever.
Yeah. Not a lot of people probably can do that. Yeah. And
first of all,
isn't it
crazy that you had to like have people making calls about whether or not you can change your hair color?
Right? That's actually crazy.
It's my freaking hair, man.
Even sitting here right now doing this interview, like it blows my mind. I would never in a million years think that I would be in this position if you asked me a little over a year ago, just because that's how quickly everything changed.
Yeah.
For me. You know, so it's just insane.
But like the girl said, best business decision because it makes you stand out.
Yes.
I mean, and the thing is, too, if you would have went platinum blonde, how many blonde girls have we had in the WWE over the years?
Totally.
As many as there's black haired girls, blonde girls. Mm-hmm. Never had a red headed girl.
Mm-mm. Like all red everything.
You know, all red everything. That's your hashtag. Hashtag all red everything. So that made a big difference for you and kind of put you on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about when you first started filming this show, when you came backstage. Now, 10 years ago, this show would not have happened.
Oh, no.
Vince would have said, forget it.
Totally.
The boys would have been shaving the cameraman's eyebrows, you know, pooping in their cameras, whatever. Trust me. Yeah, it was the Wild West a few years ago. Even for me, you know, I've been wrestling for 24 years or something. I get it. It's cool. But just even to see cameras background, I remember, you know, filming everything. I remember a couple times it's like going over a match or something and there's a camera, not ever filming us, but you're like, what are these cameras doing? Get these cameras out of here. But still, I'm sure I was like not as bad as some people or worse than others. How was it when you first came backstage?
Well, and even for us, I was kind of like, wait, why are they filming right now? Like, this is, you know, like, because you
there's people around.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, we are going through matches, we're doing stuff, like, are you allowed? Like, it was really weird. But you know, in the end, they said Vince had complete say how things get pieced together, what he wants to be shown, and
did he
not
get final say over the
exactly
edits? Right.
But so many people were hating on us to the point we were all getting heat, and I'm thinking like, did you want me to say no? Like, you know, then I'm gonna have to answer to the boss. I'm like, but it was uncomfortable because, you know, a lot of people would scream and yell and be like, put the camera down, and you're like, oh,
like the, some of the other wrestlers, you mean?
Yes
No one wanted to be a part. You wanted to film something with
people.
I was one of my cameras. I'd walk all the way around the building just to not be in it.
Crazy, like making it
awkward, like,
oh,
very
uncomfortable.
So they would walk by with like magazines over their face, like,
yeah, like crazy.
But then now it's crazy to see like the difference.
How many people want to do scenes with us?
It's a hit now.
I'm like, oh, if we would have failed, you guys all would have been in line laughing at us.
That's like,
but isn't that show business though? Yeah, now they're squeaking behind.
Yeah.
They're photobombing your shots.
It's like coming over the shoulder. Like,
oh, there's times we'll be filming scenes and completely get interrupted by wrestlers coming to me like, ladies. I'm like, oh, now.
Yeah. And you got to be nice. You're like, okay, get the hell out of here.
It's a success. And like, everyone's like, oh, I want to be a part of that. You know what I mean? Because at first, it's like you do take that chance. Like Brie was saying earlier, it may fail. You never know.
Sure.
You're putting, you know, your life out there and it may work, it may not. And now that it has, it's just so funny to see like the difference in people's attitudes and how people don't really put the, you know, paper up and something like, ooh, let me get that cameo in.
But also too, like you said, you're breaking the third wall of wrestling and going behind the scenes.
Right.
Yeah. Filming it. I mean, that never has happened
before. Oh, no.
Never.
And obviously you're not filming, or maybe you are filming if you're going over matches and how you put them together. I don't know, but it's always backstage, get makeup on,
your
stuff or whatever. But is it hard to, at first and even now, to always have a camera on you? I mean, I've talked to all three of you guys, and it's like, well, how was your day off? Well, we didn't have a day off. And we don't get a lot of days off as it is, but you guys, when your day is off, you go home and keep getting filmed. Mm-hmm. You're always working, which means always putting makeup on and always looking hot. And
well, there's times in Total Divas you'll see me look like, you're like, what the hell's wrong with Brie? I'm like, I just feel like wearing makeup that day.
Then you go, no, that was Nikki.
You look pretty, just the same as
Aww. I know, that was
all you guys look pretty, no matter what. Let's just go on the record.
Like, cough.
Yeah.
So, but like, so, how was it to have the camera in your face, and you gotta always be
I guess, on.
Yeah. Well, I know for Brian and I, it was actually really hard because, first off, we were like, are we even entertaining enough? Like, because they're like, well, let's come home. And then I'm like, well, I mean, you guys are just going to film? Like, I just want to sit on the couch. We're like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, but is that fun? And then I would always feel like I had to talk.
Right.
And Brian would look at me like, and then he always felt like he had to talk. And I'm like, you guys can just relax at times. It's okay. And I was like, oh, you just always feel like you have to be on.
Mm-hmm.
But Brian and I would get really uncomfortable. And then it was kind of like weird because then we'd start talking and then we'd stop and be like, do we want this on camera?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know? And then they'd be like, why'd you guys stop in the middle of a sentence? And we're like looking at each other, trying to like send these like signals to each other. Like, what do we do now? Yeah. Like, but now we're good with it. And there's just times I'm like, hey guys, I just need 2 hours to myself. Can you just please step outside? And they're totally cool with it. Cause now there's moments, cause we're so crazy. I sometimes feel like I'll have a nervous breakdown. I'm just like,
yeah.
I just need to eat my food. I just need to not talk. I need to just be with my husband 2 hours, no cameras, no mics, nothing. And they're cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you guys handle it.
For me, I've always liked stuff like that. So for me, it was, and going back with, you know, being a Funkadactyl at that time, I was just so like frustrated with being which one's who. I don't know which one. And that became so frustrating. Like for me, it's like I want people now to see, like, you know,
the difference
between the two of us, and like, you know, how we're completely opposite. Like Naomi and I are two different personalities, and just like how we do things are just completely opposite. So it's just like, for me, it's like I wanted that so then people can see me for me and her for her,
as
that
you,
we're
right.
Two different people. I mean, there are those times though where you do get like so overwhelmed because it's just like, oh my god, like now on my off days I'm also filming. But then it's like, you know, thank god for my boyfriend. He's always like the one to kind of calm me down and be like, hey babe, like he's like that positive energy when I am ready to be like like I'm having a moment, just kind of like bring me back to like, you know, life. And
and also you guys all, everyone knows that this is a pretty cool thing to be a part of,
right?
Yeah, and that's what makes it all that much more worth it, you know, because we see like the actual outcome and we have like a final product that we get to see and kind of look back and
totally
go, damn, you guys,
it was worth it.
This is awesome, you know.
But legit, only 15% of what we film makes television.
Of course.
Yeah. So you're filming like insane amounts.
We're filming so much, and you're like even I remember they didn't air Brian's birthday last May or something, and I'm like, we gave you that night. Like, we
allowed the cameras.
Yeah, and you guys were with us like 6 hours, and none of that made television, which is fine, but it's like, I would have rather have had a free night, but you just don't know what's going to make television. Exactly.
Did they ever do, like, I know when I did Dance with the Stars, like, they're always filming the rehearsals, you're always filming, and the rehearsals would be like 7-8 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week. And the one week, there was some dance that was bugging me, and one time I went, I can't do this. This is driving me nuts. And as soon as I said, I went, they're going to use it. And lo and behold, in the package before, it was like, I can't do this. It's driving me nuts. And then I can't do this. It's driving me nuts. It's driving me nuts. It's driving me. It's the same one time out of 40 hours.
Yes.
Do you ever get that happening to you?
All the time.
Yeah, because the things are like what you didn't expect to say because you get caught up in the moment. And you're like, because, you know, you forget that the cameras
and
are
you're
there.
Mic'd up.
Exactly.
Yeah, always.
Always.
So sometimes you have like those emotional moments that you're like, ooh, I don't know if I want the world to see that. And those are usually the things make it, because you like get so caught up in the moment with stuff, but like emotionally maybe it's like happiness or sadness, and it's like they use that one and you're like, oh,
why did you do that?
Totally.
It's almost like you can keep strong for so long, but we all break.
Exactly. We're human beings.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not only like Brie was saying, you know, we're doing traveling WWE, we're doing this job, but then when we go home we're doing that for X amount of hours, you know, and then it's like, oh my goodness, they're maybe not even use what we just did.
Right. So, or maybe like, take something out of context.
Yes.
Exactly. Oh,
which
happens
a lot.
Yes.
I'll give a look to someone and I look like a total bitch. And I'm just like, I don't think I gave that look. I know I wouldn't give that look when someone would say that. But it's
or
like
it's
they must.
A different little, like.
Yeah.
It's just.
They take this look as the response to something that happens like 4 hours later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, damn.
Was there. When you guys first started filming, not just about behind the scenes with the guys, how was it with the girls that weren't on the show? Did that cause
caused some tension?
There was definitely some tension with that, just because you think about it, like people get into their feelings and everyone wants an opportunity like that. No matter people say like, oh, you know, I don't want to do that, I feel like we're human, so no matter what, like there are certain people who were like, oh, like I wish that was me, you know what I mean? So
you know, tension was definitely, I would say, running high. You know what I mean? And it just, like, it'd be hard sometimes to talk about things around people because then it's,
and
like,
we'd all be respectful and not, because we never wanted to
hurt anyone's
rub
feelings.
In the face.
Rub in the face.
Or make anyone feel.
But it almost made us feel like, should we have said no so you guys would have been happy? Like, it was like, don't punish us because we... Like, we're not crazy for saying yes. We're not. Like,
if you said no, they would have said yes.
Exactly. You know, like exactly.
Yes. And I feel like, and that's the thing here. Like, it's a roller coaster, and there's certain things, opportunities that will be given to people and other aspects. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we the whole thing we've all been fighting is, you know, being on the show, but not being able to have a chance at the title. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, you give and you give and take, and with this job, it's like sometimes you can be all the way at the top,
sure,
and then sometimes you're at the bottom. But I feel like, you know, we're a family, and it takes two to tango. You can't do this job as a solo act, so just feel like you work with the person, let them have their moment, and then one day it'll be, because you never, you know,
what goes around comes around.
Exactly. Who knows how long the show will be, but you know, you never know. Like, maybe 10 years from now, the whole cast will be replaced, and it's someone else's opportunity,
right,
now to have that moment and shine.
Hey, if you guys go 10 years with this,
yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
right. Good, yeah.
But, and I think too, that Total Divas has really helped the Divas division, and
sure, yeah.
I know some people don't want to admit it, they're like, yeah, right, it's, you know, it hasn't, but let's be honest, on, you know, WWE television, Divas don't get a lot of time.
Right.
And I think this has really opened up the door. And now you're seeing 2 to 3 Divas matches on Raw. Like, you're seeing all this stuff. Because
SummerSlam had 2 Diva matches.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of 7 or 8 matches.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, that a lot of that is because of Total Divas. Mm-hmm. You know, we really opened up a door showing, like, people love Divas.
And also gave you guys a story.
Exactly.
And also
stories.
Gave you time to show your personalities.
Yeah.
And
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was funny. I was envisioning in my head, like Greasers versus Soshas or Jets versus Sharks in the women's locker room. Like, here's the Total Divas side, and there's a line, and here's the non-Total Divas side.
Felt like that for
if
a little bit.
It was like that, you know, but it's definitely a lot better, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think, too, like, I remember we were all in a meeting one time, all of us Total Divas, and we started talking about, everyone wanted us to open up and talk about our personal lives, like our childhood. And I was blown away because a lot of the girls on our cast have always kept quiet about their, like, childhoods. Mm-hmm. And we all were in tears crying so hard. Mm-hmm. We all realized mm-hmm. how much we related and how all of us had these childhoods that weren't great. And I was just, like, looking, like, at Ariane, for example, and we're both crying. I'm just, like, thinking, like, I had no idea. Like, if the Divas just opened up more, like, mm-hmm. we were so, you know, and I think it made us all have this really strong bond.
Exactly.
The originals, at least. And we all grew this really strong bond because we were like, damn, like, it was a really neat experience. So I think when we started getting all this hate with the show, it was like we were all, like, protecting each other, too. Mm-hmm. It was really, like, sisters. It was like a sisterhood, which it still is. Yeah.
Going through this together, you know? And that
totally.
Kind of opens up my next question, whereas season 2, they brought in Summer.
Right.
And now season 3, they brought in Rosa.
Rosa. Yeah.
So how is it having a new girl come into the originals world?
Well, it's so funny because the originals were just, like, so tight.
Yeah. Like the mean girls.
Yeah, right? But, you know, it's, for me, a lot of the filming that we did this summer, I was gone from WWE. But, you know, I have to say, it's like, you know, Rosa's been around for a long time. And I think, you know, she's really never been a big character on WWE. So I think people wonder, oh, who is she and how is she? But
I just found out she never won a match.
I know,
did you
actually
know that? She's never won a match.
Well, I saw that. Yeah.
She told me she won one. It was a DQ against Layla.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I didn't know. That would give me a complex,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, she told me that. I was like, you're joking. And she's like, no, I swear. She's like, I've never even used a finisher or anything. I was
after
like,
9 years?
Yeah.
That's the perfect example of why she... that getting a chance on this show is probably the biggest thing for her career since she got signed.
Right.
And she's always wanted something like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. But it's funny because you'll really see how people's personalities really adapt mm-hmm. together. And I think you'll see that with Rosa. You'll see who she really is. And, you know, just where she's at with, like, not only Divas Division, but with the Total Divas.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about another thing that I was laughing about, or not laughing about, I think it's cool, is that all you guys have your husbands and boyfriends on the show now as kind of auxiliary characters.
Yeah.
And, I mean, with you and Daniel, Daniel's obviously a big part of the WWE. Nikki and John is a big part of the WWE. But with you guys, both your husbands or boyfriends aren't
outsiders.
Really,
yeah.
They're not TV characters. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, show business guys. How was it for them to get them involved on the show and have them kind of be interacting with you all the time as well?
It was difficult for me at first just because WWE, people who are outsiders, is usually hard to bring them in. A, it's just because, you know, it's like it's a whole different world. So to bring him in, I was like, ooh, I was kind of nervous at first.
To have them backstage.
Yeah, and like, you know, especially at the time too when people weren't very happy that the cameras are back there. So I'm like, ooh, how do I deal with this? Like, this is hard. But I mean, now it's actually crazy because he actually gets this business so much. Like, he's actually a lot more like aware than I was when I first came here. Like, he just knows. Like, he just knows all the right things to do. And it's actually great because, you know, I feel like dating, you could either have a superstar you date here or have someone at home, and everything comes with its pros and its cons. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? No relationship is perfect. But for me, it's great just because it's someone who gives me like that outlet outside of work. So when I'm going through it, he knows how to just like take me away from all this. Mm-hmm. And you know, for him, it's so funny. He loves the camera. So I'm like, ew. Like, he just loves
natural
filming.
Ham. So, what's his name?
Work. Vincent.
And what does he do?
He works at Brinks. So he's like, you know, transporter for the money. Yeah.
And then how about your now husband?
Yeah. For me, like, everything, literally, I met Jonathan 4 weeks before my developmental tryout. Mm-hmm. So when I even told him, hey, you know, I have this opportunity, I'm going to try out to be a WWE diva, he kind of looked at me like, what?
Girl, bye.
Like, you're crazy.
Girl, bye.
But he was amazing through that entire 4 week span because, I mean, he's super into fitness and everything like that. He would like pack my lunches. He had me ready to go, you know? So I got through the 4 weeks and I was like, this is something that like I truly have like fallen in love with.
And you guys had just met.
We had just met 4 weeks before this. So after that tryout, I know.
I was
after
like,
that
girl.
Tryout.
Can you imagine a guy meeting a girl at 4 weeks, you're gone, going to move away? I mean, he must have really dug you.
I hadn't gotten it yet because I was just doing, all I was doing was a tryout, you know, where it was like after the Diva Surge, then it was like, okay, they narrowed it down to 12 of us. And then it was like, hey, can you guys handle the physicality in the ring? So day one, getting into the ring, I fell in love. I mean, it's completely different. Soccer was my main sport, but stepping into the ring was like a completely different experience. Like, it doesn't matter how athletic you are, it's just a whole nother ball game. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my god, I love this, you know. I couldn't wait to get there every single day. So when I told Jonathan, like, this is what I want to do, he was like, well, okay, if this is what you want to do, then, you know, put everything into it and see what happens. After that 4 weeks, I got the developmental and it was like, okay, well, now I have to move in July. And then that was another he was like, oh my goodness. And then after that, then I had went and auditioned for Total Divas, then I got that. So then I all of a sudden was like, babe, I'm moving in 48 hours. So it happened that quick for us. And then on top of that, he wasn't into like a reality show or anything like that. That's just not, he's a computer,
because he said he's a computer guy.
Yeah, like he worked for Blizzard, he was a gaming guy, that's what he loves to do, and he's just into that, you know. Mm-hmm. And then once I moved, he ended up actually giving up his life and moving with me because I wanted to spend all my off days that I could into the performance center. And then that was difficult just because of filming for Total Divas and everything like that. But initially when I told everybody that I had a boyfriend, they were like, oh yeah, right. Like, as soon as I got on the road, they're like, that's not gonna,
yeah, I was like,
that's
oh. not
even I thought I was I like was oh like, you've been with him this long?
Yeah. So no one thought, you know, that it would last. But when the cameras first came around us, he was shy. Like, he didn't,
people that don't have camera experience
or even in
don't know how to act sometimes.
Totally.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So he's not used to like his normal, he was very like, I guess, scared or timid.
Sure. And intimidated, then, probably, is the word, right?
And then now it's like, oh my gosh, he forgets that they're there, and all of a sudden I'm like,
he's handing in storyline ideas.
Yeah, right.
Involving
like,
him.
Wait, like, don't yell at me on camera like that. I'm like, what? It worked out.
Let's talk about Daniel. I mean, obviously, the huge build for Daniel Bryan, finally winning the world title at WrestleMania, kind of the highest of highs, and then gets hurt and now has to be out for a while. But in the weird thing that everything happens for a reason, that led to you having your biggest career angle ever in working with Stephanie McMahon at SummerSlam. I mean, tell us about how amazing that was for you. Because if we go back to what you said earlier, you quit the WWE because all you wanted was a story.
Right.
And here you had one of the best stories in a long time.
Totally. And, you know, it's so cool, too, because it organically happened. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, obviously, you know, I'm lucky that my husband is Daniel Bryan, and that Stephanie for a year tortured him. Like, mm-hmm. you know, every pay-per-view, they found some way to screw him. And then, yeah, he, you know, won the titles at WrestleMania. And then from there, our life just changed so much with, you know, everything that happened. But when WWE came to me and said, hey, this is the idea we had, I literally almost, like, just died. I was just like, wait, what? Because if you would have asked me, I mean, it's probably out there somewhere years ago, like, oh, who's your dream match? I'm like, Stephanie McMahon. But I didn't think that was going to happen. Mm. Like, come on. Like, because Stephanie's been out of the ring how long?
Yeah, she hadn't wrestled in a while.
Exactly. Yeah. But then when our angle started, it just felt so right. And for me, it was to work with Stephanie, it was just like I learned so much. I mean, she's incredible. Like, an amazing entertainer. And her character is so good. I mean, I feel like she is
so Vince's daughter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like she Crazy. Is exactly like Vince in the ring. Insane.
Totally, and that helped me so much. But everything felt because there were real feelings. Like there was things I felt like going in the story with Stephanie. That there was things with my husband. I felt like yes, I did think he was screwed for a very long time with a lot.
Legitimately,
so, yeah, and like. I was able to, you know, take that and really go with it. But come SummerSlam, I was just like, wow, like, how do I ever top this? And then when they asked, like, Vince came to Stephanie and was just like, I want you guys to main event. I was just like, huh? And he's like, it'll be a big promo. And I'm like, I was on the mic a lot when my angle with Karma. But then that ended, you know, very quickly. And kind of, not a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'm main eventing tonight. Promo with Stephanie.
Raw.
Yeah, main eventing Raw. Promo with Stephanie. I'm like, somebody pinch me. Mm-hmm. But I was so nervous, so nervous. And but hey, it was a dream come true.
It worked out really good.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you have no idea.
Like we said, for the Divas to have not just one match in SummerSlam, but to have two matches,
right.
And one of them is one of the main events.
Totally.
You look at the poster, it's Stephanie and you on there.
Yeah, and I think too, like, and Stephanie and I got such like great ratings that, I mean, we were blown away. And Vince next week, he had us, you know, main event again. And he just said, like, I've never had two women close a show, you know, on their own with their story. And you guys knocked it out of the park. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking to myself, like, oh my gosh, we don't have the title. Cause you always thought, like, oh, having a diva angle, you need the title for it to mean something. But to not have the title and to have this diva story between Steph and I do so well, I was just thinking, like, oh my gosh, every star that I ever wished to. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Like, honestly. Like,
went and far then, above.
Yeah. And when I came back after my SummerSlam match, I think coming back and seeing Brian, he was standing there and how his face was. He was just like a proud daddy. It was so cute. I told him, I'm like, you have no idea. When I came back and saw your face, it made my heart melt.
It's pretty cool because I'm sure there's been countless times, I mean, where you were waiting for him to come back through the curtain.
All the time.
And now he gets to see you come back through.
Right.
He's out. He's hurt. It's almost the second best thing. I can't do it, but my wife is killing it.
Right.
That must have been pretty cool for him.
Really cool.
Yeah.
It was.
So you're going into season 3 of Total Divas, debuted this week. Lots of experiences, lots of times. One of the last questions I want to ask is, what's your favorite thing that's happened on Total Divas? Let's start with you, Ariane.
I think for me, this season, you'll see a different side of me. You know, I am very feisty. My personality is very rare.
Mm-hmm.
But I think...
Very what?
Rare?
can we spell that, please?
Yeah.
R-A-U-R-A.
But I definitely think you'll see a different side. You get to see some stuff that's going on with my family and a really big choice that I make about work, like if I'm even going to be here. So, I mean, that's the side you get to see. And then some stuff with Vinny and I, with our relationship progressing. You know, last season I said I love you to him. I'd never said that. I never said that to anyone, actually.
Mm-hmm.
No guy. So you see our relationship grow and... that's pretty much, you know, on my end, what you'll get to see.
You guys drove across the country, too. I know that.
Oh.
You guys showed up in,
yeah.
I think it was San Antonio.
Yeah.
You guys had all been driving with your guys. Was that
date.
Fun? A little double
date
for 8 days or whatever it was?
Seriously, in hours. That was fun, though.
Yeah.
You're going to have to definitely tune in for that one because it was pretty comical.
How about you? What's been your favorite or one of your favorites?
I think this season, for me, is just I actually get to have a wedding ceremony and...
Now, were you guys married before?
No, we were. We eloped, and then I basically robbed my family of...
Gotcha.
I am the only girl. And you're going to see, like, I definitely am a daddy's girl.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see that kind of play out some more and just dealing with, you know, my family and some of their issues that they're going through. But the icing on the cake for me was that moment to have my dad walking me down the aisle.
the icing on the wedding cake was mm-hmm. that I walked exactly. in the aisle. Yes. Now, did you get married on Total Divas too?
I did. That was season finale.
I was laughing because when Natty got married, I was like, typical heart. You wait to get married until someone else right? pays for it.
Hey, honestly, typical wrestlers. Brian yeah, and I, they're like, wait, yeah. we'll pay for the whole wedding. We're like, oh, really? You know, because we were going to wait till summertime. And then when they uh-huh. brought it to us, I'm like, but it have to be in April. You know, like, yeah, we can make it work.
What was your favorite? Was that it, the wedding?
Or? No, well, I have to say for season three coming up, you know, Brian's injury you'll see on there. But
he's in what?
You'll see his injury oh, and how he's out. But also you'll see because of his injury, I have to take care of him. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy because I'm actually away from WWE a lot in the beginning.
Taking care of your husband.
Yeah, taking care of him. But I kind of have a breakdown. And actually, I like legit kind of snap at Brian one time, and I'm sure they're going to air it, and then snap at Nicole. And but that it's hard because in our business, what people don't realize is like, oh, just stay home. You know, we'll have something for you. And you never get a phone call. And all of a sudden, a month goes by, almost 2 months. I was at home 2 months. Mm-hmm. And no idea. Like, they kept saying this or that. But in our world, one day they think it's something, the next, yeah.
Yes. 1 week is like 7 weeks.
Right. And you kind of see that I go a little crazy. And I think it's the first time people really see me like kind of just
I want to see you crazy. Lose my the crazy hippie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what Nicole, I think Nicole and I in our fight, if I remember correctly, I think she goes, whoa, I thought hippies weren't supposed to get angry. And I'm like, I'm human. Like, damn it.
Should see what happens when they try and cut down a tree.
Oh, yeah. Legit. But so I think that will be a big deal for people. I can only imagine what they'll say.
Oh, that's great. Last question. What's your favorite match that you ever had?
Let's see. You know what? It's a toss-up. I want to go back to when I was, with, Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was a match with AJ and Tamina, and that was one of my best tag matches.
AJ and Tamina versus you and Naomi?
Mm-hmm. And then, because we got to do some things that they usually don't let the girls, like I took like a powerbomb.
Oh, okay.
And like, stuff. So it's like stuff that you don't really see.
Get in there and muck it up a bit. Yeah.
And then, I don't know, because I will definitely say it's with me, with my heel character right mm-hmm. now. I would either have to say with either Emma or AJ, my first match back with AJ.
Was it on Raw?
It was on SmackDown.
SmackDown.
Yeah. Okay. But I definitely feel like I play a heel character better.
You got a little bit of that vibe.
Yes.
Girl, bye.
That
bye.
Rear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rar.
So I would say it's a toss-up between okay. either
those
Emma
two. And how about you? You haven't had a lot of matches, Eva. Is there one that stands out for you?
I literally can count the number of matches on my
And five of them fingers. Been in the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, ever since week, you came back. You brought me good luck. I don't know. I've had a lot of mine have been tag or mm-hmm. six diva. But one that sticks out to me just because I got to like screw Nikki in the end was giving her a DDT. So
Ooh.
That sticks out to me just because one, I am so new and still mm-hmm. trying,
so green
and, trying to progress. But for Nikki to let me take mm-hmm. it for me and kind of put me over was awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now, how about you, Brie? You've had a lot more experience. Any matches that stick out?
Yeah, I wonder
out?
What this one's going to be.
I know, right? I've had so many great matches, but obviously Stephanie McMahon.
Well, besides the Stephanie one, obviously, that's a no-brainer, right? Because you've been the women's champion a couple times.
Yeah, and one of my favorite people to work was Beth Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the girls say that.
Yeah, and we had some killer matches. But Natty and I had a match on Main Event. It was actually right before I left. And I have to say, we kind of just went out there and like, okay, let's just do this. Because everything happened quick. They kept changing the match. But we went out there and afterwards I was like, oh my God, I love this match. Like, it just felt mm-hmm. We had Slowed. Fun yeah, and we did fun. A lot of like, and I felt there was more grappling in there, and it's probably one of my favorite.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Awesome, guys. Total Divas on the E channel. What night is it on?
Sunday nights on E.
Check it out. It's way better than the Kardashians.
That's right.
These guys are way cooler too.
Exactly.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Big thanks to E's Total Divas, Brie Bella, Eva Marie, and Ariane. Cameron, Funkadelic Cameron. I love that. Somebody call my mama. Somebody call my mama. Somebody call my mama.
ding 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 ding. Somebody call my mama. Yeah, I love that song. I think that was a derivative of Ernest Miller's music. Remember Ernest Miller from WCW? Well, actually, a quick note about Sean O'Hare, WCW, WWE performer, passed away this week. People have been asking me to comment about it. I didn't really know Sean. We crossed paths briefly, I believe, in WCW and briefly in WWE. Didn't know much about him, but it's always a sad state of affairs when a young dude, someone who went through the trenches like myself, passed away. So God bless Sean Hare and his family and friends. Thank you for asking me about that. Thank you once again for listening, and thanks for picking up, to completely change subjects, the new Fozzy record, Do You Want to Start a War, on Amazon. I want you to come see us on the road September 17th. The tour starts, although we will be this Saturday in Janesville at the JJO Boom Festival. That's going to be very, very cool. And then the tour with Theory of a Dead Man starts on September 17th. Go to FozzyRock.com and check out all of the tour dates. And don't forget, we've got headlining shows supporting Theory of a Dead Man, but we've also got headlining shows in Abilene on September 18th at the Lucky Mule, September 25th in Beckley, West Virginia at Munchies, September 28th, Parkersburg, West Virginia at the Sixpence, October 1st, Fort Wayne, Indiana at Pierre's, and the return to New York City, October 5th, the Gramercy Theater, the home of Fozzy. Come check us out. We've been rehearsing. We got a lot of new songs that we're playing from Do You Want to Start a War? Come see us. WWE schedule winding down. I've got Boston this Sunday, Lafayette, New Orleans area, Louisiana on Monday for my last Raw, and then Night of Champions, Jericho versus Orton. But don't worry, my friends, this is not goodbye. I will be wrestling again, maybe even sooner than you think. Working on more Fozzy dates as well, including internationally. So much stuff going on. Thank you, as always, for following me and for joining me. And don't forget, October 14th, the best in the world at what? I have no idea. My third autobiography. If you like the first two, you're going to love this one. So even though my time, this run at WWE is winding down, there's still so much more to check out. So much more Jericho. I will never, ever let you down. All the information on the Twitter, at Talk is Jericho, at Fozzy Rock, at I Am Jericho. Thank you for following me, Jerichoholics, and thank you for doing your online shopping once again through my Amazon link. Totally helps me out. Easy to find, podcast1.com. Keep on the podcast free banner at the top of the page. Then click on Talk is Jericho. You see all three of my Amazon links in the UK, the US, and the Canada. Every time you shop at Amazon through my links, Amazon kicks back a little cash to the show so we can keep doing this for you for free for twice a week. No extra fees or hidden charges. You're just getting your shopping done and you're helping me out in the process. All right, how many great guests have I had over the last few weeks, right? Batista, Triple H, those ratings are going through the roof. It's going to be my biggest two shows ever. If you haven't listened to Batista or Triple H, go listen now. Ace Frehley was great. Bigfoot Hunter Eric Altman was killer. Total Divas today, so much fun. Next week, though, for the first time ever on a podcast, it's the Hardy Boys. That's right, Matt and Jeff Hardy. Two-part interview next week on Talk is Jericho. The hits keep on coming. Who loves you, baby, right? Yeah, that's me. So stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs. That's it. In the meantime and in between time, another edition of Talk is Jericho. We'll see you next week with the Hardy Boys and a big, yeah, Hardy Boys!
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.